kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
A title today for us to think about, and we're calling this Faith Embraces the Greatness of Almighty God. Faith embraces the greatness of Almighty God. God has to do something in which to get our attention. For faith to start to believe and operate, we've got to see something that is far, far bigger than ourselves, the world that we live in, the universe. When we look up into the sky, all those myriads of stars and galaxies, there is something that we have to be challenged by that is greater and bigger than us. And faith needs that. And God is the only one who can feed that and encourage that in us to continue to believe. As he would not introduce it, he would not say that we walk by faith and not by sight. And I want us to consider something that, in the light of what we're talking about today, and that is that faith embraces the greatness of Almighty God, let's just turn to Genesis chapter 1. Because God, as we know, introduces himself to his greatness, his might, his power. As I've said many, many times, he says, in the beginning, God. He doesn't try to explain himself. He's not explaining his existence, who he really is. He says, in the beginning, God. And he can say that because there is nobody else. He is the one who exists, always has, and always will be. He's uncreated. He's eternal. And so he is so utterly different to us. And the only way that we can begin to understand who this God is when he starts to reveal himself in creation. As he begins to speak things into being, what it's doing there is revealing his power, his might. As we begin to look at this, he's not actually giving us a clue of himself until he comes to creating man, who's in his image. So, unless he creates man in his image, there is no faith. There is no belief. It's not really fulfilling God's purpose. God's purpose is to reveal what he can do in his power and might, which we will look at. But that none of that can be appreciated or understood unless God creates man in his image. So there'll be no point to it. But you see, God is a God of wisdom, understanding and knowledge. And I want us to bear that in mind as we just open this up and look at this. And he says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So we see that there is a mass that is present, and that is created by God. And God, out of this mass, is going to start to form. So we get this idea again of the potter and the clay. Clay is just a sort of mass. It's a grey substance. It doesn't look very attractive. When I've had a go at pottery, when you get that lump of clay, it's sort of just, there's nothing attractive about it at all. And it's thrown on the wheel, and then the potter's hands begin to skillfully work something with that grey, earthy mess. And something begins to form. And so we get this idea, he says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. That means his presence is there over this, because something's going to happen. Then God said, the first words being spoken, let there be light, and there was light. And so we've been talking, haven't we, recently over past few sermons about the light of God. So God had to inject light. What is this light? This is his presence. And he's saying, let there be light. In other words, I am going to reveal myself. Amen. And you won't know me, you can't see me, you won't even begin to understand unless I give my light, unless the lights go on. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. So he's dividing. There's going to be light and there's going to be dusk. And he saw that that was good. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning, there were the first day. So a first day has been created. Then God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmaments, and it was so. So we see now he's starting to create water and land. And God called the firmaments heaven, and so the evening and the morning were the second day. And so we know that the heavens, the clouds above, are very much involved with weather, with water, and we've certainly been seeing enough water falling out the clouds recently. We really have. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. So he's dividing all of this. There's waters, and now there's dry land. And God called the dry land earth, and gathered together the waters, and he called sea. And God saw that it was good. What does he call this world? The earth. Have you noticed today that they don't want to call the earth earth anymore? They call it this planet. That's used a lot now. And what is that suggesting? It's suggesting that there are other lives and existing in the universe. And so it's easier now to call it a planet or the planet. But the Bible doesn't give that. Hebrew doesn't give it. It gives earth. It's quite clear. And I always refer it still to the earth. And I've been noticing this just recently. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb that yields seed, and the fruit trees that yield fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself. on the earth, and it was so. So God put an order there in plant life. Yes. And they all will reproduce of its kind. And here man is trying to change all of that. You see? So an apple was an apple, a grape was a grape, a cucumber was a cucumber, and a tomato, and so on. And the earth brought forth grass and herb and yield seed according to its kind. And the tree that yields fruit, whose seed as it is itself according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. Look what God is stressing. It's of its kind. It's what I have placed in it to reproduce. So the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and the days and the years. So the heavens, the moon and everything, is all to be part of our seasons. That's why it's all moving up there, you see. Notice that is for the earth. What God has created up there is to reflect for the earth. Now, of course, astronomy would not like what I'm saying here, but it's quite clear what the Bible shows us. And let them be for lights in the firmaments of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. So all of that affects the earth. God doesn't make a mistake. Then God made two great lights, that greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. So who's control also with that? The moon, which is very much part of our tidal system in the world. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. It's all for the earth. It's not for other planets. So this is giving us a clear indication that man will go out and explore, hoping that there's life elsewhere. There isn't. The Bible makes it clear there's only a life form, and it's made on earth. It's nowhere else. And they're spending billions upon billions trying to explore these other life forms and galaxies and stars and so forth. And it's all there. But of course, they don't believe it. Then God said, let the waters abound with abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. And so God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abound, according to their kind, of every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Notice again, when he's creating, it's of its kind. And it's not to overlap. It's not for man to experiment with, which, of course, we're seeing going on today. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the sea, and let the birds multiply on the earth. And so the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to its kind, cattle, creeping things, beasts of the earth, which is according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. You know, God's really trying to make a point here, isn't he? Huh? You know, he's stressing every time it's after its kind. And don't meddle with it. Thus God said, let us make man in our image. Now here we are. We're getting a clue now of the Trinity, the three in one, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. So he's now going to reveal his likeness. And that is why our faith is so important. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So what was the earth created for? For man, for us. And he says, we are to have authority, dominion over this. This is where we get this understanding that we are a royal priesthood. Amen. You have to be chosen and called for this from the foundation of the world. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male, female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So everything up until man is of its kind. When it comes to creating man, it's not of its kind. Because he's made in the image of God. And that cannot be tampered or touched. And that is quite different. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth. So it yields seed. Have you noticed a lot of fruit we eat today doesn't have so much seed in it, do it? I bought some oranges and... they were quite good oranges. They were recommending the flavour and everything. And I got these oranges because I like oranges. And you know, not one seed is in these oranges. It struck me as I ate them. Flavours there, look nice, not one seed. And I thought, there we are, man is meddling, even with our fruit and everything. And so he says, also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given even green herb for food, and it is so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the seventh day, and then it goes on, God rests on that seventh day. So he sees when he creates man, it's very good. He's really now inspired. I've got now what I want. And this brings us then to believing. And this is why I'm calling this teaching, Faith Embraces the Greatness of Almighty God. There is the greatness of God displaying himself in that first chapter of the Bible. For what? So that it can influence us. It can speak to us. It can enlarge our faith. We see the greatness of God. And that is what we are introduced to with regard to faith. Faith has got to have this. Not only has it got to have it, it has got to be preached in the pulpits. If saints, if the church is to believe, if faith only goes to the extent of ourselves, our needs, our wants, our circumstances, it is failing to what it really is about. It is about the greatness of Almighty God, and that places it on another level, which is what we need. Faith has got to move beyond ourselves and our circumstances. Now, of course, when we were introduced to faith all that time back, that's all we knew. We were completely you know, trapped in our feelings and our emotions and the trials that we're going through and you name it. And so God met us where we were. I don't think we would have fully appreciated listening to the greatness of God. Now, of course, it's wonderful to in theology to learn about the greatness of God. I mean, it really is, and the Bible is full of it. But we don't appreciate that our faith needs that. And that's the whole point, because it's another level, is it not? What does faith actually challenge us in? I'm always challenged by this in Mark 9 and verse 23. And of course, you all know these scriptures, but in Mark 9 and verse 23. And Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Now, he's done a miracle here. He's encouraging them. They've seen, wow, you know, a boy is healed. And he's turning around and he said, well, look, all things are possible to them that believe. Now, I looked up that word possible in the Greek. Donatos. It's donatos. And it's an interesting word because it means to be challenged. It's challenging us to believe in what? The impossible. That is what he's fundamentally saying to them here. He's saying, I want you, I'm challenging you, what you've seen, I'm challenging you to believe the impossible. Well, we can all conjure up in our minds what we think is impossible. Remembering, we've just read to you Genesis chapter 1. There God has created the heavens and the earth, and he's saying all things are possible. But it's not only that, you see, you need to understand a little bit of Greek, because it's also speaking about having that power and authority for that which is impossible. So he's really saying it's impossible with man, but all things are possible with God, because he has that authority and that power to make it possible. And then we begin to understand it in a different light, don't we? And that is why God calls everything that is weak, ineffectual in this life to reveal his power, his might, and that all things are possible. And that's why I say your salvation, your calling is not a mistake. And it doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what the devil's suggesting. It doesn't matter whether you got out the wrong side of the bed. It's got nothing to do with it. It's about what God says. And that is the power of God. That is the mightiness of God. And that's why we need to remind ourselves in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God. It's not about me. It's about God. And I've chosen to believe in God. You see, we make it at times so complicated, and it's not, it is so simple that's why we don't always see. So God calls the weak, the foolish of this world in which to reveal, particularly now as man has sinned and fallen short. So this is how he chooses to do it. You see, man says, I will create, I will make it possible. And he works independently from God. It's not until it goes wrong does he then realise he needs God's help.
Yeah.
And we've all done it. I'm going to go my way. I'm going to do it independently. And then we fall flat on our face. It's not happening. It's not working. I feel I'm out of fellowship with God. And we come back and we repent. And we realise only God can do this. But you know, he works that principle in man full stop. He works it. He works it in the world. He works it in industry. He works it in commerce, in all these things that flourish, how they're doing and they're independent of God. It's not until it goes wrong do we then realise the weakness. And what I find so utterly amazing, how we are putting, or the world is putting, such faith in such fragile systems. Technology, computers are actually very fragile things. There is so much that can and does go wrong with this stuff. And yet we put all our trust in it. We have to do our banking on it. We have to send messages on it and everything. And sometimes I think to myself, I'm crazy, you know. And these things are subject to viruses, and industries all the while having to try and be one step ahead of these viruses that can paralyze these systems. And we've seen it. It's happened. And it's going to happen. It's just waiting to happen. And it's not until these things happen do we then realize and people wake up how fragile and vulnerable these things are. That's why we need to be in faith. This is why we need to overcome by the blood of the Lamb. This is why when we travel or we go in airplanes or whatever it is, that we believe that God gives his angels charge over us. Because all of this is very fragile. But you see, God's one step ahead. Well, let's look at something else we know very well in light of what we're talking about. And we're talking about faith embraces the greatness of Almighty God. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. And the apostle gives us something here of our calling and our faith. That great theologian. And listen to what he says here in verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 1. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And that is what God is doing. That is what God is doing today in this meeting. He is giving us that wisdom, revelation in the knowledge of him. Why is he doing that? Because faith needs it. This is what encourages us to believe in the impossible, naturally speaking. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So he's speaking of our eyes spiritually being opened. And God is constantly challenging believers to have our eyes opened. Open to what? The revelation of God's word. That our minds and hearts will be illumined, or in other words, quickened, for what purpose? To believe. That's what it's for. And the apostle's giving this very clearly, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory in the inheritance of the saints. So he wants us to know our inheritance that we have in Christ, in this calling. And if we really, really knew this, we would never doubt ever anymore. And we will be seeing what is impossible being made possible, because this is where it is. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. And this is why I say our faith to believe is not complicated. It's not hard, because it's about his power being made perfect in weakness. And hold on to that, brothers and sisters. Are you feeling weak? Are you feeling a bit under the weather? Have you been overcoming this week? Has the enemy been very vocal? Of course he has. That's what he does. And he says here, you're kept by the power of God, according to the working of his mighty power. And of course, that is the same word, the Greek word power, dunamis. I remind you often of this, that raised him from the dead. The same power working, helping you and I, making meetings like this possible, coming week after week. How can we doubt? Which he worketh in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of, in heavenly places. So he does this for his son. And he never rejects his son. And he never can, because they are one. And so we are found in his son. So everything he does in the son, with the son, and the promises that he's made to the son, he's made to you also. It's called sonship. That's what it's called. And he's done this far above principality, power, might, and dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this age, but also which is to come. So he's done this not on the earth, not in the first heavens or the second. He's done this in the throne room of God himself. He's had to do it there, above all the powers of darkness and the very devil himself, securing this. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And that's why you are seated with him in heavenly places. In your spiritual warfare, you are above it in your warfare, in your stand of faith. Even though you may be feeling it, and the lies and the deceptions of it all, but in your prayers, your intercessions, you are above it. He's already told us, because this is where we're seated. This is where he settled it. He's given it to his son. And where is his son? Where's his son now? He sits at the right hand in the throne of God. This is where it all comes from. No wonder the devil has tries like he does and suggests what he does. Remember, he fears you. He wouldn't do what he does. He wouldn't suggest the things in your mind like he does, unless he fears the sons of God that are coming forth in the last day. And we are seated with him in heavenly places. And now we start to begin to embrace and understand the greatness of our faith. How vast this is, you see. And then when we really begin to grasp this, it makes our needs and our asking quite trivial, really. Very insignificant, because we're seeing something far greater with our faith. In fact, we're coming to a place where we don't always ask now like we used to. We're not always in prayer for this and whatever because we take it for granted. We know our Father's heart. We know his nature. We know what he's like in his blessings, his provisions, his protection over us. We don't have to keep reminding him anymore because we think, well, he probably didn't hear the first time. You know, we're not doing that now. We've progressed from that because we're seeing that faith is greater. He's challenging us now. Can you believe the impossible, that it will be possible, you see? And this is taking the limits of faith. Because we've limited faith to our unbelief.
Yeah.
And we've all been guilty of that. But you see, he's removing that. He's challenging that. This is far greater. This is far bigger, you see. And I thank the Lord for this. I really do. And as we bring this to a close, let's look what he says to the world that moves independently of him. The world that holds on still to the unbelief and the negative and so on. Look what he says about this. Look at his attitude towards all of this. In Psalm 2 and verse 4. Psalm 2 and verse 4. And he says, he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. It actually causes him to laugh at this. Do you know actually what that really means in the Hebrew? He's mocking it. He's mocking it. That's a strong word. Now, we don't like mocking, do we? You don't like to be mocked. But God is sovereign. And that is what he thinks about unbelief. That is what he thinks of man who independently, deliberately tries to boast in his own achievements and inventions. That's what he thinks. And he sits in the heavens and he laughs at it. How silly, how ridiculous. Well, we've done it sometimes. I mean, sometimes we do it, don't we? When we look at things and how man's desperately trying to do this or whatever. You almost laugh, think, why don't you trust in the Lord? Put your faith in him. Look what you're doing. It's laughable. Well, you're feeling just a little bit how God looks on that which he created, you see. That's very, very strong, that is, there. But it's ridicule, it's mockery. Why? Because God wants man to embrace the greatness of Almighty God. And he's challenging the church, he's challenging FGA to believe this. And he really emphasized that to me. You know, as I was preparing this, and it challenged me, and I said, Lord, forgive me that I limit you, you know, and I need my eyes opened, that eye self, because I'm not going to see, I'm not going to be able to embrace this otherwise. So that's where we go, and that's why I mention Ephesians chapter 1, 17 onwards, because that's what the apostle is talking about there. And it's the notice of this church at Ephesus, who had all the fivefold ministry, who were functioning as a body. And he said, I've got this one thing against you. You need to keep your first love. It's still relationship. But they've highly commended, you know, and he's given it to them. And this is what he does. He's given us that manner. And if there are brothers and sisters and churches that don't want this, then he says he'll remove it and he'll give it to us. And this is how he does it. For those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, who want to be filled more and more. Because if God can't fill, nobody else can. So there we are, brothers and sisters. Faith embraces the greatness of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Praise his name.
Let him in constancy follow the master.